Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, a podcast about the Archers and the goings-on of Ambridge. I'm Philippa Hall, ordering my flat white along with two Bakewell tarts.
And I'm Katie Plumpton, trying to decide if I need a medium or a large cappuccino.
And then there's you lot, our lovely Dumpty Dummers, queuing up with us at the tea room to order your hot drinks. But will we leave a tip for Emma this week? Well, Dumpty Dum is the people's podcast. And on this episode, we have 11 caller-inners. We hear from
Claire from Clapham, who needs to have a word about Wordle.
Lee from Cookham, who is apoplectic.
Lillian, who's not liking the storyline.
Bernadette and Tindara, who are ticked off with Tom.
Doris, whose prediction was right.
Jen, who has an important petition for us to sign.
Richard, who has a prediction about George.
Pip, who is finally celebrating.
Rob, who's calling in because of serendipity.
Quentin Q, who is calling in to help one of us.
And Witherspoon, who's celebrating the meetup.
Plus, we have The Week in Ambridge by Suey, a roundup of the Dumpty Dum Facebook group by Rob, and the three Twitter gongs, bronze, silver and gold by Purple Pumpkin. Marvellous. Now, before Katie and I start chatting too much, let's remind ourselves of what happened this week with a roundup of The Week in Ambridge from our Suey.
Hello, lovely people. It's Suey Queen or Tart on the Twitters and another week in Ambridge. So, it turns out that Tracy and Jazz have failed to get married in Scotland due to some pesky laws that even the scriptwriters couldn't ignore. Jazz came home and went back to Barrow on light duties, and some bunting was clearly hung to welcome him back. Even on light duties, he would be more effective than George. Tracy was confused because number 6, the Green, is cleaner than when she went away. Pending any other intel over a possible George-sponsored Saturday night party, I think we have to assume that Mia is a domestic goddess or is having a very good effect on young Brad. Miles, a.k.a. Rob's brother, was a manipulative to Helen. He started out trying to get information out of her, then moved on to her trying to take Rob back into her life in some format, and finally sharing Jack with him and their father. It's clear Miles and Rob were brought up by the same man. Helen acknowledged she felt sorry for Rob to Kirsty. I think anyone human might feel the same way. Kirsty offered to postpone her Prague trip with Eric, but I'm glad to say she's still off for a dirty weekend. Emma went too far by a very long margin, accusing Hannah when she went to get breakfast at the tea room. Hannah pointed out that George has a problem with strong women, and then Emma told her to shut up and stop spreading rumours. I thought she was going to refuse to serve her. Emma tried to smarm up Tony, taking him a croissant and a cappuccino whilst interfering to get George a job at Bridge Farm. George thinks he's going to do a mixed media collage of the farm using his film director skills
but actually he's going to be fruit picking. So he's just got the one chance, or he's out on his ear. That's not going to end well, is it?
Tom, Tony and Pat had very different reactions to the news from Helen that Rob is dying. Sausage Boy was positively delighted, but Pat showed some actual humanity. Tony told Tom to leave it, and when he carried on, left the building in a huff. Later, there was some shouting, and Tony got very upset about what Rob had done to his daughter. Barely a dry eye in the house. Will decided it was time to stick his oar in and went to stir things up further with Neil. He got both barrels from Neil, who told him about the warnings and the bad attitude. It seems an intervention is in order, and George was duly ambushed by Will, Emma and Ed. That probably didn't help matters. George burned all his bridges in one go. He let rip, telling Will that he couldn't even get his wife back when she was shagging Ed behind his back. Then he called Emma, you know, his mum, a slut, and she let loose with a big slap. He's an adult now, apparently, so I do hope they stop coddling him and tell him to sort his own life out and stop giving him somewhere to live, money and food on the table. I'm sure whatever happens, it will all turn out to be Emma's fault. Fallon had to bake a second birthday cake because Tom had apparently said two cakes for the small children's birthday. And if she didn't deliver, then she wouldn't get the tea room longer lease. Fallon felt she had no choice but to make the second cake. Tony ended up at the birthday party of the year. My, didn't it sound fun? Falling over, carrying cake number two. And then a mound of small children ended up shoveling it into their gobs with their hands off the picnic basket. Everyone was delighted with the result, apart from Fallon. Oh, and Eddie is going to get his comeuppance over the fate. Lindy Bottom has a bit of a plan.
That's pretty much everything. Where else is 1 week? Until next week, then, my lovelies.
Oh, that was a brilliant roundup, Suey. Thank you so much. A lot to cover. So, Katie, what have you been up to this week?
Been really busy, actually. It's been graduation at the university, so I've got to play supervisor and boss people around, which is quite nice.
Did you have a clipboard?
I did. Well, I had one of my many notebooks. So, still felt very important. It's a nice time at the university because obviously everyone's celebrating and it's a nicer time than all the exam stress and everything else. So, been getting everyone ready for graduation. So, it's good times.
And does it quieten down then in the sort of summer holidays, or are you actually just...
Well, the uni does.
Yes, but for your job.
Yeah, our office, it just gets worse. This is our busiest time now. So, yeah, we have to deal with all the reassessments and registration. And, yeah, it's all hands on deck now. So busy until March next year now. And then excited about the Barbie movie, obviously. So, yeah,
yes.
Celebrate the weekend.
You're going to see that tomorrow.
Can't wait. Yeah, going to wear full pink outfit, all the jazz. Yeah, I can't wait. I don't think my boyfriend knows what to expect.
Well, he'll find out soon enough.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's going to be good. Are you planning on seeing it?
Yes, I'm due to see it on Thursday, but I don't think I have many pink clothes to wear. So I may need a whole new wardrobe.
I think you definitely do. I found some great PJs from Tesco and I'm hoping that I can rock them as real clothes.
You're going in them, are you?
I hope so. Yeah, I think I might try. It depends how brave I'm feeling.
Yeah, they're shorts, Katie. You're being very positive about the weather, but I like it.
Yeah, might need tights because cinemas can be a bit cold.
Oh, very good. Well, that's enough about us. Let's get on to the important bit, which is you lot, our lovely caller-innerers.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first of all, we have Claire from Clapham, who needs to have words about Wordle.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. I'm sure I have things to say about the archers, probably about how Emma and Hannah are squaring up to each other. Isn't Emma, like, I love Emma a lot, but she does have her blind spots and failings, and she's definitely demonstrating them this week. And Bridge Farm folks, again, still being useless and not talking to each other about stuff they should talk to each other about and deliberately having conversations behind each other's backs. And on the subject of that, I was prompted to call because, for a bit of a joke, really, I was doing a Wordle this morning and I used the word twonk, as in Tom is a twonk, and I thought, oh, it will tell me it's not a real word. And it is! I thought it was just a kind of word we used to describe Tom. in within a kind of Archer's fan context. But it turns out twonk is actually a word that's accepted by Wordle. So there you go. There's a top tip. It's actually quite a good one to use today, which is the 19th of July. But it'll be too late for you to know that by the time this goes out. Anyway, keep up the good work and I'll see you soon. Bye.
Oh, thanks, Claire. That's brilliant. And happy birthday for this week as well. Yes, love that word. I just think it's great. I like the word twazook as well. I often use that when I'm driving with the kids in the car and I want to use a different type of word for someone who is driving and in another car and not behaving appropriately. And I can't really use the words that I'd like to. So twazook is my chosen phrase. And I think that works for Tom just as well. He never changes, does he? Tom just doesn't think. He has no empathy and emotional intelligence. I know we've said it before, but honestly, I just don't know what to make of it. And I don't know what to make of this non-wedding nonsense with Tracy and Jazza. I mean, I thought they'd be able to go to Gretna Green and get married there, but apparently you need 29 days notice there as well. Does it mean we've got more painful scenes of confusion about people thinking they're married coming up? I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like that's going to carry on for quite a while. Yeah, I thought Gretna Green, you could just turn up. I don't know if that's changed to be 29 days.
It has changed. Yeah, it has changed.
Yeah, because that always used to be the place to run away to, didn't it?
Yes. But I had to Google it.
Brilliant. Yeah, I do like the word twonk, though. That's quite a good one for Wordle. I've not played it for a while, but that I wrote it down as Claire was talking, and that uses up some really good letters.
So it could be one of those base ones that you put in every time to see what happens.
Definitely. Yeah, you get rid of some weird and wonderful letters.
Oh, no, that's a great first call. Thank you, Claire. And now we go to Lee from Cookham, who is apoplectic.
Good morning. Lee from Cookham here. Fourth attempt at trying to leave a message because it keeps failing on me. Fingers crossed, fourth's a charm. Yeah, I've just listened to Thursday night's episode on Friday morning, as I usually do on my dog walk. And yeah, I'm just flabbergasted at George and his absolute explosion at his three parents. But I am glad he's done it. I think it will finally show Emma what an absolute rotter he is. I really hope that she won't excuse this behaviour, because I would be devastated if my child spoke to me like that. I definitely think Ed's a little bit more wise to it all. He seems less inclined to excuse his behaviour. But Emma, oh, absolutely ludicrous. So I'm hoping, yes, that she sees that he's definitely, well, I'd say actually categorically mentally ill to be like that. And maybe he needs help, not so much a telling off. He actually needs to go and speak to someone, because the way he spoke to those three was excusable, really. Absolutely awful. Anyway, I'm sure you'll get plenty of messages about it, because it was quite dramatic. And that was just my tuppence worth. No doubt I'll call in next time I'm apoplectic about something. Great show. Bye.
Well, first of all, thanks for trying four times, Lee. So yes. Well done for finally getting through.
Perseverance.
Definitely. Yeah, I totally agree with you about the George explosion. I was driving to work when that happened. And I just pulled into my parking space all calm, ready to go to work. And then George let rip at Emma. And I just shrieked at the radio. I was just thinking, what on earth? I think I'd get far worse than a slap if I said that to my mum. I don't know what I'd get, but flipping egg. Yeah, he definitely needs some help and guidance, not just a firm telling off, I think. There's definitely more going on, like people have been thinking.
I mean, it's bad enough when you're young and you've got two parents telling you off. Having three parents have a go at you must be really bad. And yes, it must be awful to be teased and the subject of gossip. But, you know, at what point do you rise above that and not use things as an excuse? I mean, he went for Will grieving Nick and saying Nick wasn't all that. He went for Ed with being on drink and drugs. And then he went for Emma being a slut. And, you know, hopefully when Emma said, "Who are you?" she finally saw him for what he was.
But also, on the upside, it was quite handy for people who maybe haven't been listening as long.
It's a good recap.
So people have actually got quite a good recap about Nick and Will and just get to go through everything again. So, yeah, it's actually quite handy.
Yeah, maybe he could go round to all the residents of the village and within a few words has summed it up. You don't need an hour's recap. You just need George and his takedowns.
just George on a Friday, just yeah. shouting at one random person every Friday.
Yeah. I'd listen to that, actually. I think that could be
that would be quite good.
Yeah, anyway. Lee, that was great. Thank you so much. And now we go to Lillian, who is not liking the storyline.
Hi, Philippa, Katie, and all Dumpty Dummers everywhere. Lillian McCarthy here, calling from Middlesbrough. And I want to talk about George, probably not the only one calling in this week about George. This storyline, don't like where it's going. Just listened to Thursday's episode, tonight's episode, and I think the guy, Angus, I think he is called, who plays George, is a terrific actor. And what I would like to happen is that I would like it, if it would be possible, to get Angus to come onto the podcast and talk about George and the storyline, the way it is being developed, and what he thinks about the character. I know we all don't like him. I think there is a degree of sympathy for the way that things have worked out for him, but not enough to make us like him. And I think that Emma has well and truly had her eyes open in respect of George this week. She surely can't continue to deny that he is definitely at fault in the way that he has behaved. So those are my thoughts, everybody. So I shall clear out here and speak to everybody soon. Bye for now.
Oh, Lillian, thank you so much for calling in. That was wonderful. And yeah, great idea to get Angus on. I think it'd be so interesting to hear his view. And as you say, great acting. I mean, George strikes me as being just a master manipulator. And he used tears this week, like Rob did. I remember when he was interviewed by the police in hospital after his injury, and he was crying and getting their sympathy. And it just felt like that when I listened to George. I mean, part of me would rather have George as a baddie any day than Rob, but I just fear, fast forward a few years, and the two could be very much the same. I mean, George was, you know, offering Tony to video more stuff on the farm. It was so manipulative, and saying, oh, I promise, and talking about what had happened at Barrow. It's all lies. It was the manipulation of men this week. George, Miles, even Eddie and the fate nonsense. Oh, and don't get me started on Susan. Oh, he's misunderstood and he's more sensitive than he lets on. No. See the light, Susan. See the light.
Definitely. Yeah, it would be great to hear from the actual actor, just to see how he feels about the character. And I bet it's a great storyline to be working on, because you get to try all these different emotions and everything. But yeah, it is interesting. It's scary how it's going to develop, I think.
You know, George is using his background as an excuse. And it makes me fear for Jack as well, when he, you know, gets older and discovers who or what his father was.
That's true.
You know, there's two ways that could go. That could push you to become, you know, it could really affect you and your behaviour. Or you could use that as a reason not to go down that road and to be, you know, a really good, better person. But yeah, it, you know, George doesn't really have the excuse. I imagine it could affect Jack much more in future years.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens.
We will indeed. But Lillian, that was a wonderful call. Thank you so much. And now we go to Bernadette and Tindara, who are ticked off with Tom.
Hi there, Dumpty Dummers. It's Bernadette Hawkes here at Archers Fan 2015. And I'm with a fellow listener.
Hello, I am Tindara. I haven't been a caller in error before, but I have been an sapper in error. And I'm Olive McDoty on Twitter.
And she's very cross and very angry, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Tom, what are you thinking? And also, Emma, you're crazy.
Well, I couldn't believe... I was all right at first with Tom. And then he said, good news. I said, what? what? And as I've tweeted, I'm having a philosophical debate with myself about his stance on this matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously none of us are pleased to see Rob again. But, you know, to be gleeful about his death is a bit much, really, Tom. And also, poor Tony, of course it's going to be a sensitive subject.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, this was a full-on episode. We have Tom, you know, Emma, and then we have Tom, and then we have Tony exploding across the air. I mean, it's too much to take. I mean, it's only 5 o'clock, but I think I might need a gin.
Oh, dear.
So I think we better stop now, otherwise, you know, things could get very explosive.
Yeah, I think we'll calm down now.
We'll calm down now.
Yeah.
So, thanks for listening to us, Dumb to Dumbers.
Bye.
Bye.
Ooh, brilliant. I think ticked off was probably quite a tame word for how they were actually feeling. But yeah.
God blame them.
Welcome to the podcast, Tindara. Please make sure you keep calling back. So always welcome a new caller in. So welcome to the show. Definitely a philosophical debate with Tom. I totally get what you're saying and everything. It was a very, very explosive conversation and definitely not something we would call good news at all.
Yes. And Tony's now, you know, he used the phrase, I'm going to check on the Anguses just when he needs to go and cool down. I'm going to use that now with my family if I've had enough and I need to go and have a moment. I'm going to check on the Anguses.
Really good idea.
But yes, they said about Emma being crazy. Emma seemed just possessed. It was like when she was moving house or wanted to move house and she got those mood boards and what needed the money. She just didn't stop to think. It's like a mafia mother whose son comes home from brutal stuff and cooks him a fry up and kisses him. You know, she knows he's bad. She knew about the warnings he'd had at Barrow Farm. And she didn't even tell him that he'd only have one chance with Tony. In a way, she's like George. She blames everyone else. She doesn't accept any ownership herself. I have to say, though, one of my favourite moments this week was the tea room scene with Hannah and Emma. Emma's voice next was filled with so much anger. And she did the most aggressive card payment I've ever heard. Nothing goes through that quickly, but it was, yeah, I just love that. I'm sorry, it did make me chuckle a bit.
It probably didn't even work. She was just kind of, they tried to do it and she just wanted to get rid of her. So she was like, next, no, moving on.
Yeah.
Can have it for free. Don't care.
So I was thinking, well, why has the coffee machine broken at Barrow Farm? What's the relevance of that? And then I realised Hannah was heading to the tea rooms and I drew up a chair and I was like, I am here for this. Come on, Hannah, let's show us what you're made of.
Definitely, yeah. I think Emma might be having her blinkers slowly removed, or quite quickly removed.
Yeah, very good. No, that was a super call, Bernadette and Tindara. That was wonderful. Thank you very much. And now we go on to Doris, whose prediction was right.
Hello, my lovelies out in Archer Land all over the world. This is smug Doris coming from you, submitting this from the shores of Long Island Sound in Connecticut, where I'm taking care of my Joe Grundy, my dad, who is 101. Anyway, I'm calling because just as I predicted 3 weeks ago, or maybe two, guess who has a glioblastoma? The evil, irrational, sexist villain, Rob Titchener. All right, I'm sure that other people have said lots of things, and I'm more than a halfway through this. So, and I'm pausing a lot, and I'm not scripted, so I'm going to go. See you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you, Doris. And wow, your dad's 101. That's wonderful and good for you taking care of him. And your prediction was right. Well done. Yeah, can we talk about Miles in particular? That's what I just want to have a word about, because, you know, when he said, oh, you guys had your challenges to Helen about her and Rob, you know, surely this is bigger than that. Utter nonsense. Miles is just a slightly diluted Rob. He's like, Miles is a squash if Rob is the fruit juice. They're both you know, not pleasant. And when Miles, I'm making a prediction here as well. Doris made her prediction and she was right. I'm going to make a prediction and obviously it'll be wrong. Mine always are. But anyway, I'll go for it. Miles was talking about Jack and saying, my nephew, my father's grandson. So I'm just wondering, will this really all go away when Rob's no longer here? You know, Miles has already demonstrated he's manipulative. He hasn't got the empathy. He doesn't care about Helen. He's overbearing. And this my nephew, my father's grandson, will they want contact with Jack? Will they insist on it? This could, you know, this could last Jack's lifetime. It really could be ongoing. But as I say, my predictions are almost 100% wrong. So there we are.
So we'll never hear from Miles again.
Yeah.
I have got a quick question, actually, because I wasn't listening that much before the whole Rob and Helen stabbing bit. So was Miles around a lot or not? Or, yeah, did we hear from him?
No. Now, people are going to shout me down.
Yes, sorry.
Yes.
Put you on the spot.
Yes, thanks. We heard of him because we knew that he worked on the father's farm. So we knew of that. Did we hear him at any point in the court case? I don't think we did. But to be honest, I find it so hard to listen to all those scenes with Rob. I would listen on my headphones. I would always have to take one headphone out because it seemed to dilute how awful it was just listening through one headphone. I don't know why I did that, but anyway. And so maybe I missed it. I'm not aware of hearing his actual voice until recent times, but we were aware of him. But everyone can call in and tell me I was wrong. I'm very happy to be wrong. So there we go. Those are the first five calls. And there are more absolutely brilliant ones coming up shortly. So hold on for those. Now, if you would like to contribute to this madness, you would be so very welcome. There are three ways you can get involved.
The first option is to record a message or a plot prediction by going to speakpipe.com/dumptydum. Don't forget the T in the middle. The next option is to send us a voice note or message via WhatsApp on 07810012881 or +44 and remove the first zero if you're calling in from outside the UK. Please keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes. Or finally, you can email us. We have a new email you can contact us on if you would rather write to us with our views. Maximum of 250 words, please. The email address, drum roll, is dumptydum@mail.com. Let's repeat that. It's dumptydum@mail.com. Do bear in mind, you need to be at least 18 to take part and contribute.
Now, don't worry about trying to write all of that down now, as we've provided links to those three ways of contributing, and you'll find those links in the show notes for this episode. They are there now, waiting for you.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Right, let's get back to our calls. And first of all, we have Jen, who has a very important petition for us to sign.
Greetings, everyone in Dundee Dumland. Jen here calling in about the Rob storyline. I have to say, it's good drama. We've got two fantastic actors, Helen and Rob are both amazing. So of course, to an extent, it's enjoyable. And yeah, I've been guilty as much as anyone of, oh yeah, well, karma, or couldn't happen to a nicer fellow, or all of those sort of things which are going around on Twitter. But at the same time, I really don't like that if Rob had to meet fate, that fate was cancer. And I guess the reason is within our community, there, you know, fortunately not within my family, but certainly within my Twitter family, glioblastoma is a terrible thing. There are two or three of the people that I follow who have lost children or young people to this disease. Glioblastoma kills more children and adults under 40 than any other cancer, and yet it attracts less than 1% of the funding in cancer research. This week, I don't know if it's deliberate or not, but this week is Glioblastoma Awareness Week. And usually in these kind of storylines and drama, when they crop up, there's a bit of public education and a lot of sympathy, and it can do good, dramas using a real life condition like this. I mean, as we know, the Helen and Rob storyline generated a lot for support of domestic violence, which was excellent. But because of Rob's character, I can't see it going the same way and raising awareness and funds for this terrible, one of the really is genuinely one of the nastiest cancers in young people. So with that in mind, I think it would be great if we could all go to braintumorresearch.org, and there is a petition at the moment to increase funding for this terrible cancer. They're just looking for 100,000 signatures. So if we could get out there and get behind that, I think that would be excellent.
Definitely. Thank you very much for sharing that petition, Jen. It's it is something really important. And it is actually something close to my family as well, but not for the horrible side of it, which is, yeah, definitely the main side of it. But my cousin actually lives in Germany, and he's one of the head researchers for sorting out, well, not sorting out, but discovering glioblastomas and helping to develop it and try and find cures and helping kids who get diagnosed with it. So yeah, it's a very, very important area.
Oh gosh. Yes. I mean, yeah, he must be a busy chap.
Oh, he's incredible. Yeah, he got the brains in the family, that's for sure.
But how are they coming close to making any breakthroughs, or is it still a long way away?
I think they've still got a lot to do, but they have been getting breakthroughs and lots of developments and stuff like that. He kind of travels around the world talking to different countries. He is based in Germany, but yeah, he travels the world discussing what they found and everyone working together trying to develop these cures for this horrible cancer.
Gosh. How interesting. Well, there we go. Well, we have also put a link in the show notes to the petition. So you can go there and click on the link and sign the petition, which both Katie and I have already done. And also I've included a separate link. It takes you to the same website, but to the donation page. So if you feel that you would like to, you can also make a donation there. And Jen has worded it much better than I can. But yes, totally agree with your thoughts, Jen. For some light relief, can we talk about Neil, please?
Yes.
Bless Neil. First of all, Neil likes watching repeats of Keeping Up Appearances.
I know, I loved that bit.
Isn't that wonderful?
With the bucket woman.
But I do see some similarities between Hyacinth Bouquet and Susan, I would say.
Definitely. And he is definitely Richard.
Yes! He is. But I just can imagine, you know, him sitting there watching them. I just love that. And I like the fact that Jazza reassured Neil that he'd done the right thing with George. I was like that. And yes, Neil was the one that said, you know, if George isn't sorted out now, where will it end? What's going to happen? Mm. So I think Neil deserves a medal for this week. I really do.
Yeah, definitely. Good old Neil. Love him.
Yes. But thank you, Jen. That was a really superb call, one, a much needed one. And as I say, the link to the petition and donation are also in the show notes. So now let's go to Richard, who has a prediction about George.
Richard on a cider apple farm in South Somerset, also in Europe, in my view. I was
wondering about the shrinking teen George, who was very struck by the fact that Ed, Will and Emma seemed to be aware of the fact that Brad had been framed, set up and lied about in the talking to George and hadn't done anything about it, which I think reflects very badly on their lack of a moral compass. I wonder how badly George was brought up and whether Emma feels guilty about it, and that's why she's in so much denial. And then pondering in plot prediction mode, what else is going to go wrong? Will he make misogynistic remarks to Helen or someone in his new job? He's obviously going to screw up in different ways there. When the village fate bail, hey bail lifting thing goes into action, will he be jeered and laughed at and then start either verbally or physically attacking some of the audience? I suspect that in order to be a long-term character, he's going to be turned out to be quite good at some social media marketing stuff, and maybe that will be his route into some kind of independent existence. But as I said, I think his team is shrinking. The other thing that struck me is that Fallon, for all her business expansion plans, needs to get her basics in order, and there's a very simple technique called the auto confirmation she ought to start using before worrying about growing her business. Sort out the basics first. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Yes, on a cider apple farm in Somerset. Wonderful. Love that. Hope the cider is pleasant there. Yeah, what else is going to go wrong? I think you're absolutely right, Richard. Something else is bound to happen. Will George react with the hail bale lifting at the village fete? Yes. And Fallon needing to get the order confirmations. This cake nonsense wound me up so much. At what point is someone going to tell her one or two cakes? And it's so expensive to make a cake these days, you know, getting all the ingredients. And these, they sounded like they were towers of cake. They were that big. I didn't appreciate that. And I didn't appreciate Harrison coming in saying it's cakes. And then everyone at the party was like, oh, you've got two cakes. No, that's nonsense. Don't mess with cakes. But yeah, I thought as well this week, we heard Helen often feeling guilty when she shouldn't be, and yet there's no guilt from Emma, there's no remorse. I think if it was me, I would be really questioning myself. You know, you always do as a parent. Did you do the right thing? Have you brought them up the right way? And yet there's nothing there from Emma. Or am I reading it wrong, Katie? What do you think?
No, I agree. I think it is kind of, like I said before, with this whole blinkers thing, I think she's just very much, no, everything's fine, George is wonderful, blah, blah, blah. But it is going to start, she is going to start to realise, and I think she will then start to feel guilty as well. But it's been needed a lot sooner than this. It seems to have got lost. But also, I'd forgotten about that hay bale bit, actually, in this week's episode. Did George not realise how difficult it is to lift loads of hay bales? Because he seemed to not be doing that well.
So is it that you have so many hay bales and you get timed as to how quickly you move them? I haven't researched that. I failed.
Yeah. No, I'm guessing so. But he just seemed to really be struggling. And I would have thought that he'd maybe thought that through before doing this whole, I'm going to lift all these hay bales.
Yes, because he does think he's, you know, this strong chap, and and he didn't tidy it up. He does nothing to help. He does nothing that makes him a pleasant person to be around. But again, maybe they needed that opportunity for him to talk to Will, so that Will went to talk to Neil and things moved on apace. But yeah, if I was invited to do a hay bale lifting competition, I think I'd say no. I'll be the one with the stopwatch. I think
I'll be the one at the cider apple farm with Richard, I think.
Yes, absolutely. But no, Richard's always spot on. And once more, that call was exactly that. So thank you, Richard. And now we go on to Pip, who is finally celebrating.
Hello, everybody in Dumpty Dum Land. It's Pip here from Swanton Heath. I'm just messaging to say yes. So good to finally hear Ed and Emma and Will see the real side of George. I think we've all been sitting there waiting for that moment, for that penny to drop, to see, let them see what he's really like, and not everyone blustering around, trying to protect him because he's young George. Just, oh God, it's been infuriating, but it's been fantastic to finally let them see his true colours. And I'm listening, talking about last night's episode, which was Thursday night, and I listened to it finishing my night shift driving home this morning, and I couldn't help but cheer in the car. It was, yeah, brilliant. And so I just hope that everyone else gets to see it as well, in terms of his grannies who are always there to defend him. And also Oliver, I think also, you know, just he's been there to defend him and give him the chance that he really did not deserve. And I really hope Oliver, you know, retracts his offer of, you know, money and support. And I think George just needs to learn the hard way. So more of that, please. Fingers crossed. All right, everybody, keep doing what you're doing because you're doing a great job. Really loving the podcast at the moment. Lovely to hear so many different presenters and everyone contributing. So yeah, keep it up. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Loving all the different voices. It's the one time that I have wished that The Archers was visual and not radio when George just let rip. I would love to have seen all their faces.
Yes.
And then it would have ended with kind of an EastEnders dum-dum-da-da-da-dum. Definitely. And loving the fact that other people were cheering and shrieking and whatever along in the car as well, just like I was that morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were all sort of celebrating, but I'm just worried what's going to happen next. I was, you know, the shock of Emma slapping him, and I understand why she did it, because he just pushed her and pushed her. But, you know, he said, you know, I thought you wanted to talk. Is he just going to manipulate Emma even more and blame everything on Emma and that slap instead of being accountable for what he did? You know, it's just, it gives him more ammunition to keep being nasty, George. And then they're going to have to run around and say, you know, Emma's going to have to, well, she doesn't have to, but I imagine she's going to say, oh, how sorry she is and all that nonsense. I just wish she hadn't slapped him, because it gives him, he thinks it gives him the moral high ground.
Yes, and he'll keep trying to play that sympathy card as well and keep bringing it back to that slap. And I just hope Emma's strong enough to kind of, no, this is why I did it. You deserved it, kind of thing. And move on from that rather than keep trying to play the sympathy card until she breaks down.
Yeah, I mean, will he go to Susan and tell her what Emma did, and Susan might take his side? Oh, there's enough rifts in these families in Ambridge. We need, you know, we need them to really see what's going on. But anyway, yes, Pip, you're right. We're celebrating at the moment. I just hope we can continue to celebrate and not start worrying about what happens. I did think Friday was a bit of a letdown, because the Friday episodes recently have been real humdingers, and this one was just literally a bit of a wet sponge.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
No, I agree. I feel like they got Friday and Thursday the wrong way round.
Yes.
I think they suddenly panicked because the twins' birthday was on the Friday. I think they were probably hoping it was going to be the Thursday, and then they could have done this Ed, Emma, Will.
Yes, good
but
point.
Then suddenly
good
we're
point.
Like, oh no, we've got the days wrong.
Yes, it's going to have to be a happy Friday. It's not what we're used to at all.
Which was a bit annoying.
Anyway, thank you, Pip. Now we go on to Rob, who is calling in because of serendipity.
Hello there, all. I wasn't going to do a caller in this week because I've subjected people to the social media roundup. But I thought to myself, I have to say something this week, because how often can we have the occasion where Rob calls in and chats with Pip and Kate? I haven't really got much else to say, just serendipity. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Rob is very naughty. He knows I hate being called Pip. I didn't hate it until Pip came along in The Archers and grew up to be the person that she is. I hate being called Pip because of her. How do you feel about being called Kate?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Kate either.
Our Rob will just be gleeful about this.
Absolutely, yeah. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he's achieved his mission. So yes, Rob, it did make me laugh, I have to say. But yes, unfortunately, now Rob knows it winds me up. I think he's going to use it even more frequently. So maybe
yeah,
I
think that's
quiet.
Now going to be a problem.
Oh, brilliant. Right. And now we go on to Quentin, Q, my Q, who is calling in to help one of us.
Dear Dumpty Dummers, it's Q here. I feel that we should pause on the podcast and reflect on the distress of one of our number. We witnessed at Bridge Farm the destruction of a glorious cake. Judging by the splat, the hysteria, this cake was clearly loaded with a copious amount of buttercream. One Dumpty Dummer is both a purveyor and a consumer of any cake that is laden with buttercream. I speak of our dear Philippa. Can you imagine the trauma she went through as she heard those children rolling about in all that buttercream on that playmat? Philippa, you need to know you have our support, you have our understanding. And as Marie Antoinette never said, let them eat cake.
Amazing. Yeah, first of all, do you need to talk, Philippa? Are you okay? Do we need to have a chat after this?
I need therapy. How can they have those kids rolling about in it and sliding in it? The utter outrage. It's unbelievable. Yes.
Oh, I must say, though, Q is definitely going to be the Nigella of Dumpty Dum, I think. He's got a very good cake voice.
Honestly, when I heard that, I just laughed out loud. But, yeah, I mean, who lets their kids slide in cake? I love the way Fallon said, you know, it's fine. And anyone who uses the word fine, you know, it absolutely doesn't mean fine. It means I'm anything but fine, the simmering fury. And how, why did they let, are they teaching those kids that it's okay? Next time they go to a National Trust cafe, are the kids going to be pulling out the cake and rolling in it? No, absolutely not. And oh, that's the most fun they've ever had in their lives. What sort of upbringing are those poor kids having that rolling in buttercream? I mean, it's just, and if they've been rolling in buttercream and then they go in the house, you can imagine the mess on the carpet and the sofas. It's just all levels of unacceptable. And they kept talking about the buttercream. I was like, no, because buttercream, very important to me. I just, who lets their kids slide in buttercream? It's absolutely wrong. There were lots of croissants this week. Emma for Tony, Susan for Jazza and Tracy, and then these Bakewell tarts. Katie, I'm not a fan of a Bakewell tart. I was traumatised by that.
What? Why? Yeah.
Because if you're going to have a tart, you have a treacle tart with a substantial quantity of cream on the top. I don't know, Bakewell, it's just, it's almost, well, it's medicinal more than anything.
That is a good shout. I've not had a treacle tart in forever. But yeah, I would go Bakewell tart. If there were kind of cakes laid out, I would get a Bakewell.
But if you had a Bakewell tart or a treacle tart then,
treacle.
There we are. Or a lemon tart. There are lots of other nicer tarts. I just
never see a treacle tart.
Oh, we must be mixing in different circles then, Katie, because I'm definitely seeing the treacle tart. I do like a nice treacle tart, especially when they put like little pecan nuts around the outside. Anyway, yes, very nice, yes. In fact, pecan pie, is that a tart? What makes a tart?
We have only got an hour, Philippa.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I was just going off. Quentin had just unleashed the trauma. Of me. Talking therapy is, yes. Anyway, yes. Thank you, Quentin. And now we go to Witherspoon, who is celebrating the meetup.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Philippa, Katie, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Handsome Husband here on the train to Edinburgh after a great week in London, highlighted by meeting wonderful friends, old and new, on Monday. We are a great group of people, A special message to Matt. I may have accidentally erased a Facebook friend request from you, so please resend it. And please screw up the courage to call her in. And what a week it's been in Ambridge. Though note, I haven't listened to Friday's episode yet. I've never seen so many posts on our Facebook page. Kudos to Helen, first for dealing with the news about Rob and for standing up to Miles, who was being terribly manipulative. Second, for being the sanest person in your family and how you've dealt with it. A note to Tony, for your own mental health, you need to come to peace with the entire situation and should know that dying of a glioblastoma is not at all a pleasant way to go. Helen is understandably now struggling with what to tell her boys and wondering how they will process it in the years to come. That, of course, connects to George's story. We all know he's become a horrible human being with a particular antipathy directed towards women. We learned he has carried so much anger directed toward Will and Ed, but particularly toward Emma. The scriptwriters had planned for this very moment some 18 years ago. Pretty amazing. So if there's anyone in need of therapy, it's George. Seriously, his life could take a real bad turn if there's no intervention. And you know who seemed to be the most sensible in dealing with George? His father, Will. I've pointed this out before, but William has demonstrated a gradual evolution into being a better human being. Hopefully his son can do the same. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Witherspoon. Yes, what wise words from Witherspoon. I mean, it just summed it up brilliantly. And I'd love to see the photos of the meetup on the Facebook group. If you haven't had a look at them, do go on and see it. I was sorry I was still away on holiday, so I couldn't join the meetup. It looked like a huge amount of fun. Yes, when Helen's the sanest person of the week, that's saying something. And Harrison did helped Tony on Friday, thank goodness. But I think that Witherspoon has summed it up much better. And yes, Will, better at dealing with it. Will did seem, once he'd talked to Neil, he did seem to see much more clearly the problems with George, and he was a lot more level-headed until George started going after Nick. Although I think it was Ed that reacted to what George said about Nick rather than Will. I think Will went quiet at that point. But yeah, Witherspoon, wonderful.
Yeah, no, the photos looked so good from the meetup, although I'm kind of sad that we didn't get to see a Witherspoon in Wetherspoons. I feel like that would have been a great opportunity.
Yes! You're going to make that happen now, Witherspoon. You're heading towards Scotland. Come on, that's what we need to see.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, who knew Helen would be the sanest person?
Yeah, saying something. But anyway, those are the calls. Thank you so much for calling in. We love them. Do call in next week. Now let's move on to Facebook. And we need to say an ow-do to you to
Neil, Ruth, Kathy,
Lynn, Pauline and Carl.
So what has our Facebook group been talking about this week? Let's find out as we sit down for the roundup with our Rob, or should I say Roberta, if we're playing with names.
Hi there everyone, it's the other much nicer Rob with the social media roundup. This week's been a bit of a strange week in that there was a lot to talk about, but not a lot of storylines really. One of the big ones was to do with George. He had a rude awakening at Barrow when he was sacked by his very own grandfather Neil. And he proceeded to tell anyone who'd listen how badly done by he was. One person who believed him was his mum, Emma. Helen Blackburn said, "Emma was pure evil tonight. Hannah should go to the police. Emma made threats and Hannah should act on them. George is a vile misogynist and his mother is too stupid to see it." Sarah Ferguson added that, "Fallon won't be happy with Emma being so rude to Hannah. There's going to be ructions." The dismissal of George brought another example of how the Archers affect us in our daily lives. Pam DeLay said, "Train travel snacking, sausage rolls at the pasty shop at Reading Station come in incognito packaging. So tasty, but if George Grundy loves sausage rolls, are we obligated to hate them? Worry not, dear Pamela. I think we can separate the sausage roll from the storyline." Our very own Jacqueline Berto took some time off from her well-earned break to drop us a line. "I see trouble ahead for George. He thinks Tony wants him to do media stuff at Bridge Farm. Emma just negotiated a few hours veg picking for him. George will not be happy. He won't last a week there."
He'll be furious with Emma, his misogyny will out. He's already called her out a few months ago, and Emma might then see the light. Helen Cook wondered, why didn't Tony speak to Neil to confirm Emma's story that the sacking was a misunderstanding before employing George? It would be like checking references, and Tony would surely understand that there are two sides to every story. If the sausage roll was a matter of gross misconduct for Barrow, what lies ahead for Bridge Farm's organic status? As if to follow on from that, Nicholas Nitsua said, George is an incel in waiting. This could be a long, rumbling and uncomfortable storyline. Paula Eggers agreed, saying, George is escalating incel behaviour and will Emma and Susan's roles as enablers. And then there's one of those little green emojis of a sicky face. Neil's got his number, though. Well said, that man. The boy needs a sharp and swift family intervention. But then the continuity announcers got involved. George goes too far with shocking consequences. I think it's fair to say that there was a lot of speculation following that. Gillian Corrigan was the closest, though, when she said, probably running his mouth off a little too much. And John Beasley summed it up with, slow burn for 18 years, then pow. That's what separates the Archers from your average soap. There was another talking point in the week, and that was the long-predicted medical condition of Rotten Rob Titchener. Amy Gilbert summed it up with, so, I've just listened to tonight's episode, and I must say, for all the hatred of Rob in the past, that was an incredibly moving episode. You could tell that he was genuinely scared at the end, no matter what he's done in the past. I would never wish death on anybody. Truly superb acting by Tim Watson. I'll be honest and say that there was quite a lot said about Mr. T, but I've made an editorial decision not to say too much about it. Rob Titchener has been written up as arguably the worst bad guy in soap history, and the diagnosis was, in some quarters, met with feelings bordering on delight. However, a lot of our community found that hard to swallow. A lot of us, myself included, are either cancer survivors, sufferers, or have lost loved ones to the disease. Regardless of how much we may have hated Rob and what he did, it still weighs a number of conflicting feelings, and I'd rather not delve too deeply into that particular quagmire. And that is it for this week. I look forward to another week of fun and frolics on the Dumpty Dum Facebook pages and hope to be in touch with all of you there. Be warned though, when the chat starts, you can be there for hours. Take care.
Thank you so much, Rob. That was great. And thanks to everyone on the Dumpty Dum Facebook group. Now, did we receive any podcast reviews this week?
Yes, we did. We received three and they were all 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast. Yay. Our first review is from the Drago Mount Fitchett, otherwise known as Paul Newman / Polly Perks. The review's called Stephen and PP Make an Excellent Pairing. Paul says, great points by caller inners and excellent chat. Also, just really enjoyed completing the questionnaire for the dissertation. Looking forward to the variety of presenters at the moment. Greetings to all Dumpty Dummers out there. Polly Perks / Paul Newman. Thanks so much, Paul, for that review.
Yes, thanks, Paul. That's great. And our next review is from Ruffy. The review is called Long Form Archers Discussion. And Ruffy says, it's great to have access to a long form discussion series about a well done long term British radio show not commonly listened to in the USA. I like the intelligence, warmth and varied opinions of the presenters. The Archers' historical anecdotes and tidbits are really great, enlightening, and the humour always enjoyable. Well, thank you so much, Ruffy, for that review.
Our final review this week is from Welder Co. The review's called Dumpty Dum Delight. Dumpty Dum is a gen. Affable, witty, and knowledgeable hosts put together the musings of the Archers' global listenership every week. Always funny, always insightful, and always worth a listen. Thanks so much, Welder Co, for that review. That's really nice.
I don't think they're going to think our week's been very insightful, I have to say.
No. Mainly about Kate.
Yes. But the other weeks have been really insightful. Anyway, thank you for those lovely reviews. They mean so much to the whole Dumpty Dum team. Thank you. And now on to Twitter, where you will find us at Dumpty Dum. Make sure you include the Archers hashtag using a capital T and A, so the visually impaired who use screen readers can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. As well as at Dumpty Dum, I can be found with my bookish musings at QuickBook Review with a 3, not a W.
And I can be found at KTP Land. So let's find out who's won the Twitter medals this week.
Hello, it's Fry here. And now, on Dumpty Dum, it's time for Tweet of the Week.
Hello, Philippa, Katie, and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Purple Pumpkin here with a selection of Tweets of the Week. And my thanks as ever to Bernadette, Jen, and everyone who tags at Dumpty Dum to make sure we see all the best ones. This week on Twitter, we've been treated to a lot of expletives about George that can't really be discussed on a wholesome podcast like this one. Hannah came in for a lot of love, and Emma did not get much sympathy. The tweet-along also felt rather deprived of follow-up to that Grundy family scene by the focus on Bridge Farm for Friday's episode. We've all got used to the idea that Friday's episode might be the big one of the week, and somehow that didn't happen this time. But let's get to my medals for Tweets of the Week. And I'd like to give an extra honourable mention to the person who won gold, as he very nearly earned a second medal this week with his tweet that had George explaining the difference between misanthropy and misogyny, given that he seems to hate everyone. In bronze position, it's a tweet that was set up by Bob Hawkins at Salvatore Rosa, who explained that he was currently following hashtag the Archers by tweet along alone, as he was in Germany and trying to explain what being taken up Lakey Hill meant to incredulous Germans was just too much of an effort. But Patricia Clegg, at Patricia Clegg, replied, Die Bogenschützen, everyday story of country folk in Bavaria. Today, Edvard Grundig is in trouble with the Polizei for laying a patio on a Sunday. Loving the idea of the German archers. The silver medal goes to Ian, at Ruther Ian. Meanwhile, Stella and Pip haven't been seen for 3 days and are living on the contents of Brian's wine cellar and Ian's pizza van while they try to find the last remaining handcuff key. And the gold medal this week goes to James A. at Exeter Dormouse. So, where did George get his flair for judgmentalism, Susan? His nasty comments assuming the worst of people, Emma? His misogyny, Will? His manipulation of others, Eddie? His laziness, Joe, and his relaxed attitude to rules, Clive, Alf, Joe and Eddie. You're right, James, it's a mystery how the lad ended up that way. Well, that's it for this week. Hope to see you all on Twitter next time.
Oh, thank you for that, Purple Pumpkin, and congratulations to all who were mentioned in this week's roundup, but especially these medal winners.
In bronze, Patricia Clegg, at Patricia Clegg. In silver, Ian, at Ruther Ian. And in gold, James A. at Exeter Dormouse.
And don't forget, we're on Instagram. You're our head of Insta, aren't you, Katie?
I am, yeah. You can find us at DumptyDum on Instagram. And if you just use the hashtag DumptyDum as well, make sure it's a T in the middle. And it's lovely to see different pictures and everything popping up. I've had a few kind of hashtags recently, so that's been quite nice to see some new posts, and I get to share them in the stories and everything, so keep an eye on those.
Oh, super. Well, next week's episode will again be hosted by Katie and myself, as Stephen and Jacqueline are taking a well-earned break for a few weeks. Well, as we come to the end of this episode, we need to say thanks to all our wonderful contributors and to our social media supremos. The whole Dumpty Dum team are amazing.
And we must say thank you to Shambridge for her voices and our podcasting parents, Lucy V. Freeman and Royfield Brown.
Thank you so much for listening and joining us today. We're off now to try and fix the broken coffee machine at Barrow Farm. So it's a bye-bye from me.
And it's a ta-ra-ra bit from me.
Dumpty, 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 dum. Dumpty, dumpty, da, da. Dumpty, 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 dum. Dumpty, dilly, dum. Dumpty, dilly, dumpty, dilly, dumpty, dilly, dum. Dumpty, 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 dum. Dumpty, dilly, dum.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.